That's music.
For $15, the Friends of CITR card scores you in-store discounts at Beat Street, Red Cat, Vinyl, Scratch, and Audio Pile. Support Vancouver's finest indie radio station and pick up your card today.
What do you want to do with your life?
I want to rock.
Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. Good evening and welcome to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR, where we chat about everything that is sexy in Van City. And one of the classic scenes for a boy meets girl, boy meets boy, girl meets girl, is the nightclub scene. So joining me tonight is Vernard Goud from Love and Grace Entertainment. Welcome, Vernard.
How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good here on this rainy night. Yep.
It's a very cold, really dismal night, so it's hard to imagine anything sexy at this time.
No, I think it's very sexy.
Really?
I think rain is very sexy, and I think some of the listeners would agree with me.
I suppose so, especially since they do live in Van City, which it rains quite a bit here.
Well, rain means, you know, you got to stay inside. Rain means, you know, it's, you know, you can have your candles on, you can make it cozy, and, you know, and <It's>, whatever else you
That's a very...
You can imagine. So, I don't disagree. I don't think rain is unsexy whatsoever. But that's my opinion. So,
it's a very good opinion. I can think of lots of things that people could be doing outside in the rain as well, which could make it very sexy and make it a totally different scene.
Absolutely.
But it's Vancouver's really changed since the 80s, that's for sure.
Oh, don't get me started.
Well, I think that's what we're going to be talking about tonight.
But I will start.
Because we are, I was really excited when I found you on Facebook. I can't remember if you found me first or I found you, but just in terms of the fact that you're putting on your events. And because I used to love going to Love Affair in Graceland. And for those listeners out there who aren't familiar, they were two amazing nightclubs in the 80s. And I'm going to let Vernard talk a little bit about that, just about the scene, like how clubbing was in the 80s.
Yeah. I mean, Graceland came after Love Affair. Graceland was, I think, established in 86, I believe.
Mm.
Love Affair was first opened in 1975 by the Greek owners, you know, the Kariassotis brothers.
I do.
As a gay disco. And, of course, we all remember the Love Affair lipstick logo sign, which was designed by Stephen R. Gilmore, who will be spinning on May 28th at the Love Affair event. So, but anyway, you can plug that later. So it was a progressive gay disco until 1980, until there was a sit-down and people started protesting and I wanted new music, and it all of a sudden became a new wave punk sort of club, you know, and that was it, you know. And it's Vancouver, Love Affair was easily, you know, the most influential and, you know, iconic sort of, call it alternative, whatever you want to call it, club, you know, in Vancouver, you know, it lasted from 75 to 2003. Although, you know, I still went in the 90s and I still checked it out, you know, quite here and there, and you know, just before it closed. But to me, the 90s and, yeah, it just never quite captured the same kind of feel that it had in the early 80s. You know, it's hard to explain unless you were there. I mean, I think that's why I tend to harp on, and a lot of people like that early part of the 80s much better than the other eras, you know.
I didn't get
the early
a chance.
80s was truly a combination of all kinds of people from all walks of life, from every subculture. You had punks, you had goths, you had drag queens, gays, you know, you had straight people, models, actors, you name it. Everybody was there, and they all got along, you know. So, and that's the scene that I and quite a few others miss so much. Because right now, I think Vancouver tends to be very homogenous. It's just sort of one kind of scene. It's just R&B and hip-hop and rap. You know, that sort of permeates all over the Granville Street, you know, the clubs over there. It's just kind of one kind of scene, one kind of people. I don't feel bad saying that, but it's the truth. They all sort of look the same, you know? Whereas, you know, it's one kind of, you know, to me, that's boring, but whatever.
Well, it is boring. I think there have been some changes in the nightclub scene since the 80s in a lot of ways. I'm so glad that you brought back, because Love Affair is where, it was the first place I ever went clubbing when I was 15 years old, so it was pretty exciting, which I hope my dad's not listening to the show tonight.
Right, right.
But with that, I can still remember going there and drinking my peach cooler and just really liking it. A lot, and that was kind of where I went there, Twilight Zone, all those places, as I got a little older, so it was pretty exciting. But I remember just all my friends, like, during the 80s, it was, even though AIDS was a big scare at that point, that a lot of my friends, it was very rare when people were using condoms on a regular basis.
I agree.
And it's wild considering, you know, AIDS was really, really scary, where I can still remember being terrified that you could get AIDS from getting bitten by a mosquito. Remember? I don't know if you remember that.
No, rumor. I totally remember that. Trust me. I totally remember that.
And yet, at the same time, a lot of people are going out and having sex without condoms, where I think one of the big changes, which has been really exciting, is the fact that people are practicing a lot safer sex in general.
Oh, I think so. I think so. Absolutely. You know, I think so. I also think there's a bit more than many, quite a few more diseases out there. But that's another story. But AIDS was definitely just so scary at the time, you know, and it freaked me out for the longest time. I mean, I wasn't the best of boys back then, so.
I don't think any of us were, but boys or girls. But
yeah, but go ahead.
I was just going to say, last week I had Connie Smudge on the show when we were talking about AIDS, and one of the things she mentioned, which actually scared me a little bit, which was the fact that some of the younger generation now aren't using condoms and not practicing safe sex as much, because just because there's the cocktail that can prolong life, even if somebody has HIV, and with that it's...
I know.
It's kind of scary, even though it's funny because I think of the nightclub scene as a lot safer, but I think it depends on where.
Of young people, and trust me, and even older people.
Yes.
That just never learned. you know, they're still practicing safe sex. You know, I couldn't even, I mean, I've been happy married for 9 years now, but it's even, and I can't remember the last time, even when I was single, like that I practiced unsafe sex. It's probably late 80s, maybe. I think 86. I've always done, you know. But then again, I never drank, you know. I was never on drugs. So I was never, I was always, my head was always there, so. And
So you weren't living the Bret Easton Ellis novels then?
Excuse me?
Oh, the Bret Easton Ellis novels, just with the whole nightclubs theme, like American Psycho,
yeah,
those types
it?
Of things. Oh, I'm just teasing in terms of, because when I think of the 80s, I always think of cocaine, less than zero.
Oh, yeah, it was a heavy drug. Well, it's there again anyway, so.
Yeah, that's true.
It's sort of making, it's sort of a resurgence again, I think, so.
Yeah, the date rape drugs are the ones that scare me, and I think that's one of the things that that our listeners should be watching out for, too, just in general, just being a little bit more careful in terms of if somebody's offering to buy them a drink.
Oh, of course. I think nobody, unless they really know somebody well, should take a drink from somebody that they don't know. I don't care if it's a guy or a girl. You know, I just, no. But that's me. Then again, I don't trust anybody, really, besides my wife and you, Caroline. So.
Well, thank you. In terms of with fear of GHB, though, sometimes I wonder if it's changed chivalry in some ways, because back in the 80s when I used to go out, it was pretty common where if boy meets girl, you know, boy likes girl, boy asks girl if she wants a drink. And I can still remember back in those days where, you know, sometimes it was pretty common where if a guy was interested in chatting with you, he'd buy you a drink.
Mm-hmm.
Now I find that doesn't happen as much. Do you think just the fear of that's changed the whole chivalry thing?
No, I think it's just a combination of either
What, guys are lazy?
Nope.
I'm teasing.
No. It's... I think that's probably more in North America, I imagine. You know, Europe, definitely Southern Europe, it's still very much like that, you know. I think it's North America phenomenon. Of course, the feminist movement helped with that. I mean, I would call myself a male feminist at this point. You know, but I do think in some ways, you know, where the point, I think, that a lot of men and women over here, that seems to be, that don't quite understand one another at this point. It's still that sort of, everything's kind of gray. They're not quite sure what to do with one another. And, you know, guys are scared, like, you know, and because, you know, girls are standoffish, you know. Well, it's definitely Vancouver women, I think, are, but that's in general. But that's a whole other ballgame, you know. But,
Why do you think that is?
Just Vancouver. Just, I mean, I you hear different things, you know. Oh, Vancouver people are so friendly and all that stuff. I don't totally agree with that.
In what way? Do you think it's cliquey or?
I just think if you were to, well, guys is basically scared. And I do think, you know, the moment a guy does the, you know, I mean, I can't even imagine a lot. But I never took that approach anyways of sort of, hey, can I buy you? I never did that, so. Or, you know, I just did it, things much casually, you know, let's go for coffee or something, you know?
Okay.
I think over here it's like, well, what does he want? What does he want? He wants something, you know? It's like, they'll give you attitude here. Again, not everybody, but... So that's what I often hear from the guys that I've spoken to over the years, right? It's like, okay, you know? And then again, you hear from the girls, oh, the guys are just scared. They just don't want to, you know, they seem to be afraid or, you know? But I really think that's because both don't really quite understand one another at this point, you know? They don't quite, you know, should I be more, like you said, chivalrous, or should I, you know?
Or should I just let it happen?
Just let it happen, so to speak, you know what I mean? It's interesting. But I always hear, no offense, it's called the Vancouver phenomenon, so I don't know. I'm not the only one that says this, you know. I have a lot of foreign people come here, and they'll say, what's it with the people? You know, I'm talking about the nightclub scene now, and even, you know, because people tend to be kind of cliquey here, you know.
They can be.
Again, not everybody. But, you know, I know there's, like, listeners are going to be like, half of them going to disagree, yeah, sure, but that's the way I see it, right? So, but, yeah.
I know sometimes in terms of with the nightclub scene, sometimes it's one of those things where it would be nice, and maybe it was my youth, but I do remember guys being a little bit more aggressive back then in terms of it's like, I like you, so let's go hang out. And they're very, very specific about that. Where now it's really hard to gauge sometimes whether or not somebody's really into you or they just want to be your friend.
I know.
And yet I understand where you're coming from in terms of the fact that there are sometimes, and I've been in that situation as well, when somebody's buying you a drink, it's like, what exactly are they trying to buy? Do they think I'm a prostitute where, you know, by buying me a drink, that means I'm going to go home with them and have sex with them. And there's that. And I do understand that. I think it depends on body language. And I think both for men and women, in terms of with feminism in general, where we did have to fight for our rights and things like that.
Yeah.
But now, there, as you said, there's not really defined roles. It's very gray in a lot
of
ways.
It's very gray, yeah. I mean,
whereas like in the 40s, it's like, okay, you know, the boy, he was the one who came in, brought home the bacon, where the woman stayed at home.
Yeah, which I don't, you know, which I'm sort of against that too, right? So I think there's nothing wrong with a woman buying, you know, a guy a drink or something like that or whatever it is. That's, I don't think so.
Well, you know? She's into him, so.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's... You know,
are you seeing more of that?
Yeah,
with,
I think so.
Women being more.
I think I've been seeing that for a while already. You know, I mean, I experienced it when I even early in, I experienced quite a bit of that. You know, let me take you for dinner. You know, let me take you know, you know, those kind of things. So no, that's nothing new. I don't think it's. Yeah, I think it's not so much in the '80s, but it's definitely more late '80s, early '90s. That's sort of changing in general. You know, what I know is Vancouver anyway. So yeah.
And why do you think that is?
Well, what we just talked about, I think the whole, you know, the equality thing, which I think is a good thing, but I still think we're not really at a, we're not at the point of where we're totally comfortable with that whole thing, you know? Or when I say comfortable, I think it's, that and not quite understanding one another, what one wants from one another, you know? That's I think, the problem nowadays.
Why do you think nightclubs are where people like to go to meet boy meets girl, girl meets girl, boy meets boy?
Just the way it's always been.
Okay, fair enough.
The way it's always been. You
know, back in the day, it used to be church.
I mean, like, it's just a more of a fun environment, you know, I think, to meet somebody. I mean, I personally never really believed, you know, when I was younger, in the whole, you know, I got to look for somebody, I want to have a girlfriend, you know, like, oh, I'll go find one. You know, I mean, when I was 17 or 18, maybe, you know, I sort of was a bit into that, but pretty quickly, I just prefer to just sort of let things happen. You know, I always believed in sort of, well, you know, I'll run into them. It could be anywhere, right? And I just think that's a better approach because people can sense your desperation.
That's true. They can really
feel
it.
They can sense, geez, it's kind of coming on stronger. You're like, you're really that desperate. People sense it, you know, so. And I think that's not too attractive, you know.
No, it's true.
So.
Do you think that that people are more homophobic now than they were in the 80s or less in Vancouver in particular?
No, I think it's better now.
Okay.
I think in general it's better now. I mean, still, obviously, you have all these sort of I call them hate crimes. You know,
that
all
is
the
true.
Attacks that happened last little on the West End, which, you know, absolutely infuriates me. No, there's still pockets of that, and I still think it's a whole, it's a whole patriarchy thing, you know, the whole, men have to be men, you know, anything that sort of, threatens that, they have to, either it's like demean women, or, you know, or I think it's straight men that are afraid that might like the whole, the whole gay thing. And so it's usually those people that I tend to find homophobic.
That's true.
But they might like it, you know. So they're going to attack as much as possible, you know, whether verbally or physically, because they're terrified of it. You know, they're scared of themselves, in my opinion. So,
a lot of them are, unfortunately.
Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. I was going to ask, just going back to the bar in terms of with drinking and things like that, do you think one of the reasons why boy meets girl, girl meets girl, boy meets boy happens in nightclubs a lot is because sometimes people have to get a little intoxicated so they feel brave enough?
Yeah.
It's like liquid courage?
Liquid courage, yeah. Well, a lot of people just are afraid to be the themselves. So it's like straight, so to speak. You know, and it's like they, you know, that loosens them up a bit. And I don't know. I mean, drinking is something else compared to what I've seen in Europe. It's you know, I think, like, look at the Grammar Street thing. It's insane.
How is Europe different than here? In the nightclub
scene. You know, when I talk Europe, I'm not talking about England. I mean, although I think London's actual cool club scene is my favorite, of course, in general, because the music and the fashion, and it's the most cutting edge in the world by far, you know, with Berlin, I think. So, but the actual, I don't know, it's you know, over in Europe, like Northern Europe and Southern Europe, you can go clubbing at age 14, 15. The drinking thing is no big deal, so nobody gets overdoes it, so I think it's a good thing. I'm against a 19-year-old drinking age. I think it's silly. It's nonsense.
So you
people,
think we should,
you know,
get
people
rid of
do what they can do, and they'll just go overboard and let's get drunk as much as possible. You're not allowed to do it. That's what happens. You know. So
do you think by putting barriers on things, it encourages people to do it?
Sure, it does. Of course, it does. Nobody likes, you know, any rules. People will rebel. It's the way it is. That's human nature.
Okay, in that realm, if we go along that path, do you find that there's sometimes people, have you ever had it at one of your events where people are having sex there?
Not that I'm aware of. It might have happened.
I had to go there.
I know you did. It's you know, it's sure it's happened at clubs. I mean, I've been around them. I've seen it in clubs, but not at my events.
Okay.
I mean, unless I'm not aware of it, but
okay, that'd be a really interesting challenge. It's like, okay, everybody, come to the event and have sex and see if you can do it without anybody catching you.
Yeah. I mean, it might have happened. I don't know. Certainly wasn't me. So. Yeah.
One of the nice things about the events, which I really like, is the fact that people can really dress up, which is pretty hot. And sometimes I think that's another reason why people get a little bit more frisky. People are wanting to feel a little bit more sexy at events is because they're wearing less clothes. It's kind of like in the summertime where all of a sudden people start looking more attractive because they're wearing less. And you can see more.
That's true. That's true. I agree. That's true. Well, although I'm not a big fan of the whole, how can I say this? Showing too much thing either. I find it kind of boring, honestly.
Really?
Yeah, I do. Because to me, that's what Gramble does.
So
depends
what,
on how it's done. It depends on what they're wearing. It's you know. No, I'm not a big fan of it. I really am. I think it's so boring now. Everybody, you know, like it's the whole Britney thing. I mean, that's that whole. It's so over and done. It's boring. It doesn't leave much to the imagination, in my opinion. You know, I find it much sexier when a woman dresses classy. I'm serious.
No, that makes sense. Because
that's me, though, you know?
Yeah, I think a woman can dress however she wants to, but in terms of what, I guess it depends on what she wants.
Yeah.
Like when she
goes
out.
I mean, no, it depends on how she carries herself, you know, and what she wears, if it's interesting, you know, but the whole, I mean, you look at the young girls on Gravel Street, for example, you know? Like I'm generalizing right now, but I probably am. But it's boring to me. You know, everybody's trying to look like a hooker. That's boring to me. That's my story. It is. It's dull. It's like, okay, you know, then they all look the same. So, to me, that's not interesting. To me, that's a boring, dull scene, you know? But that's, you know.
Well, that's probably why you have fashion shows at your events.
Yeah, I like people. I rather have people very stylish. There's ways of dressing sexy. You know, you show a bit of skin, fine. But, you know, it's just, I'm tired of this whole girls gone wild culture. It's very North American, seriously.
In what way?
It just seems to be people's, because I think in North America, not so much Vancouver. Well, yeah, Vancouver too, but you look at North America. You look at how most of the actresses or the sort of young teen stars how they dress. I mean, it's they look like young porn stars to me. Paris Hilton, for example, is a prime example of that. And you know, that's very, very. I mean, I think because it's, you know, the sexuality is very much repressed here, and that's, you know, it's very repressed in North America. It's like a dirty thing almost. But at the same time, there's no happy medium. It's either really dirty Or you have the whole religious rite that says, you know, do not do this, do not do that. You can't have sex. You're abstinent. It's just, it's insane. It doesn't work. That's why, for example, stuff like STD rates.
STI, sexually transmitted infections.
Okay. you know, and pregnancy rates are far higher in North America, definitely in the States, you know, than in Northern Europe. Northern Europe, like, it's way lower.
Mm-hmm.
Lowest in the West, in the developed world. It's lowest in the Western, you know, the Western,
world.
In terms of, like, health, yeah, sexual health is much better over there.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, it's, you are taught to like it and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And to practice safe sex from an early age. It's not a taboo. Over here, still sex is a bit of a taboo. You know? At the same time, you have a whole sort of what I call the slut culture going against it. It's very confusing, I think, for people. You know?
Well, I think it's kind of confusing times sometimes.
I know.
Yeah, which I think we're going to let everybody ponder that for a moment because we're going to take a short break.
Okay.
And when we return, we're going to talk more about monogamy.
Okay.
And having some fun at clubs, the secret to it in a sexy industry. Best pickup lines and what to do when you get hit on way too much. All this and more for the second half of the show. And if you're listening right now and you want to Twitter us or email us, you can, because we will be giving away, our first giveaway today is tickets to the Screaming Chickens Taboo Review Show, which is this Friday. And with that, you need to Twitter and hit #TabooReview. And because that way I can search it. Otherwise, you can email Kitten because she's checking things. Kitten, KITTYN at sexyandvancity.com. You're listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We are going to be right back.
The world's a
What is that? I know what that is. That's music.
For $15, the Friends of CITR Card scores you in-store discounts at Beat Street, Red Cat, Vinyl, Scratch, and Audio Pile. Support Vancouver's finest indie radio station and pick up your card today.
What do you want to do with your life?
I want to rock.
Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. And we are back on Sexy and Van City Radio. If you're just joining us right now, I am talking to Vernard, and we are talking about all sorts of sexy things about going to nightclubs in Vancouver, or Van City, as I like to say. And so welcome back to the show.
Here I am.
Oh, wow. It's nice and loud and clear. I like it.
There we go.
So before the break, we're talking a little bit about how hot and sexy it is in terms of the nightclub scene. And
you're talking about them, my dear.
I guess I could be talking about Sin City and things like that with Isaac, but we'll have that for another show when they have their anniversary.
Of course.
But I was thinking about that on the way over here. It's really neat because yourself, DJ Pandemonium, who our friend Isaac, and DJ Chris, all of you are all in long-term monogamous relationships.
Yeah, very monogamous. I'm very happy.
Yeah, and yet you're all in the nightclub scene because I used to have this perception of nightclub where it was just like, you know, free love, having fun, kind of the player thing. And maybe with maturity and things like that, things change. Like, what is the secret of being in such a sexy industry and having it benefit your relationship?
Well, the one thing about, for example, the love affair, you know, it wasn't just all about picking up. Yeah, of course, the element's always there in any club, but it was almost more about the actual scene of, you know, looking a certain way, and the music was like everything to us. Sure, yeah. So along, you know, and it still is sort of like that. If you ever go to our events, which I know you have a few times,
I've been there several times,
almost all of them. the pickup element's not really there. Not like a regular club. It's really, people really go there for the music and to really have a good time. Now, of course, sure, yeah, there's an element of it there, but it's not the predominant thing.
No.
Whereas you go to a so-called more mainstream top 40 club, that's basically it. You know, people don't really care. Yeah, you know, people don't really care that much about the music. Oh yeah, you know, as long as they're a tune that's sort of that's danceable, they'll dance to it. But the rest is just what picking up. I don't find that sexy. Not me.
To go to the nightclub and pick up, or
no? If it's only about that to me is really boring.
Well, this is about a lot more than just that, and I think from just watching you with Julia, and mm-hmm. and I'm an outsider looking in, but you guys have really strong communication skills.
Yep.
When you guys are together, you're really together, where you guys are friends as well as totally in love with each other. So.
Yes, totally. It just works. It's just, you know, I'm very lucky. Very lucky.
I think that's really cool. 9 years is a really long time to be with somebody.
Yeah, and it still feels like the beginning of any way. I still wake up every morning thinking, God, I'm so lucky to be with her. And it's just, I know the feeling was mutual, and it's nice. She tells me that every day. It's like, so we're very blessed, and I never, ever, ever, never not value it. It's always there. Like, I think about it all the time. It's the way, and I've never wanted to be in a long-term relationship, you know, and even get married unless it was like that. I would rather be single forever, honestly.
Oh, I think that's a better way than as opposed to settling for something that you're not happy with.
Well, most people settle.
And yes,
I know
they do. I know.
And to me, that's death. Equals, like, you might as well be dead. Well, what kind of, that's not a way to live.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And people, for starters, need to learn to like themselves and like their own company before they even start being with somebody else. That's what I think. You know, you got to like your own company.
I agree.
You got to be your own best friend, you know, like you are. You know, and that's, to me, just the main thing. And you got to be best friends with your that partner if you do eventually settle down, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that passion and that law, that whole, it has to be there, you know. That whole phenomenal, the semi-itch or, you know, with a three-year itch, it's never occurred to us. It's just not there. So I'm very lucky, you know.
How do you not take each other for granted? Like, I think that's really awesome that you don't. Like, it's like from what you're describing, it sounds like every day it's like, you still just see that wonderful part of each other, and I think that's really cool because I hear so many relationships where they don't, they lose that sense of that.
Yeah,
how do you
why
keep
I think
that alive?
Is?
Why?
Well, because I think most people, again, here I'm generalizing again, you know, a large percentage of people, you know, they define themselves by their stuff or by their job or your material stuff. Whereas,
okay.
We don't really care for that. Yeah, sure, we live in an okay apartment, the whole thing, and you know, we like, but we're not, you know, I don't care about cars, I don't care about, it's just, we just don't care about those big, expensive things. We just don't, you know, it's, material stuff doesn't mean much to us, you know? And I think so, what you have left is basically yourselves, you know? We just value, it's, what excites me is, you know, that connection that I think everybody longs for, you know? To me, and it's always there. So I never, it's always there. It never leaves me for some reason. And I think, you know, and she tells me the same. So very, you know. So again, I consider myself very lucky. Most people are defined by, like, you know, like by their, you know, I have this car, and you know, when they meet, it's also like that. You know, I have this, I am this, and I want this, and then want more and more and more. So people are so obsessed with chasing something that's really not that important. You know, you have the wealthiest people that are totally unhappy. They have everything, but yet they have nothing. So what's, you know, I don't know.
So how should people be defining themselves then?
Why?
How?
Mm-hmm. Just as themselves.
And you know, what
but
is
I
that,
think a lot
though?
Of people don't really know themselves. And I think a lot of people are not comfortable with themselves. A lot of people always need to be around other people in order to feel like they are somebody or whatever. Well, I personally have that problem, but that's me, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think people should learn, for starters, to like themselves and learn, you know, to like being alone and like their own company. And, you know, and it's not all about buying stuff and consumerism, because that's, you know, that's a big problem. But mm-hmm. Every so caught up in the chase. Chasing for something that doesn't really
exist.
Buy happiness. You can't buy happiness. So,
no, you can't.
You know?
Definitely not.
So, you know, I'm very opinionated about that. I'm actually being calm right now, so...
Well, how would you define happiness?
That's happiness? Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think content's a better state of mind. It's just, you know, I think content's better. I mean, happy, I mean, just appreciating every day, every moment, and valuing your partners and your family, your best friends, and, you know. And just, I don't know, it's just a feeling you have, you know. I mean, I personally don't want that much in terms of material stuff. I think what everybody longs for, you know, is I want to be loved. I want to love somebody else. And the other stuff is just like whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It's and makes me happy, whatever you want to call it. Happy is just the word, you know. It's like, sure, we all have problems, you know. There's ups and downs, but in general, you know, pretty satisfied, you know.
Which
and,
I think is.
You know, and, let's go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I think it's good, and I was just going to ask how your relationship has it become richer since you've started Love and Grace?
Has it gotten richer?
Yeah, your relationship
yeah, so.
Just because
so.
You're happier.
I think so. Yeah, I think
you're
so.
You're doing
well,
what you love.
A little bit. I mean, I don't know. We've always been happy, but you know, despite
mm-hmm.
you know. And you asked me how do we have such, like, long-term relationships and are happy, you know, in such a, what you call, sexy scene, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, loving what you do, if I love what I do, and as does Isaac, as, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, Isaac, you know, I mean, we love what we do. And if you love what you do, you know, you make a bit of a living at it, you know. To me, that's a big key to happiness, is doing what you love, you know, and then it extends it to other areas of your life, you know, including your relationship, of course. You know, if you love what you do, if you hate what you do every day, 8-9 hours a day, you're not going to be the happiest camper you get home, right? It's like, you got to think it kills the soul.
Yeah.
So I love what I do. I mean, I get excited every morning I wake up. I'm like, I'm thrilled to be, okay, what can I do today, you know? What can I come up with today? What kind of theme or what kind of club might, you know, it's, you know, besides the Love Fair, you know, I throw other kinds of events, you know, I'm trying to diversify, right? But Love Fair is my favorite one, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so it's doing what you love, I think. It's a big, big part of it.
Which I think is a
follow
really...
Follow your bliss. Excuse me?
I think that's a really good way for people to figure out who they are.
It
and
is,
who they
know,
love.
It's not like what everybody else wants you to do. It's what you want to do.
Yes.
It's what makes you excited. What gets you, you know, your blood, like, gets your enthusiasm going. That's, you know, enthusiasm. It's in a, I find it's very sexy.
I agree. I think so. It's,
you
know, very lovely. And it's a very empowering, which I think empowerment and feeling confident and feeling really good and just loving all that stuff.
Sure.
It's very sexy, and people who embrace all of that in their lives, I think, are very sexy people.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Which, on that note, you've got a really exciting event coming up on May 28th, don't you?
Oh, I sure do, my dear.
Why don't you tell me a bit about it? I think those who follow me on Twitter know about this already, because I was Twittering as soon as you announced it at the last party.
Okay.
So why don't you? I want to do a drum roll, but I don't have one, so.
Drum roll?
Yeah, because
okay,
I think it's really exciting, even though it's already been in the Discord already. You had a nice article in there.
Yeah, I checked it out, you know. It's a really good article with, you know, Kevin Key from Skinny Puppy. And, well, I got to go back to the event. Yeah, so Love Affair, May 28th, Thursday night, at Celebrities Nightclub, we have Mr. Kevin Key, you know, the founding member of Skinny Puppy, and Stephen R. Gilmore, who is the who designed most of Skinny Puppy album covers and the early Network records. And he was a DJ at Love Affair from 1980 to 85. They're being flown in. Yeah, they're coming in from LA. They suggest this, to do this to me, because I heard about the events through Vic Ford and Stephen heard from his son about my events. So they figured, what a cool idea if we could play, you know, the how we remember 1980-85 to be the set list, you know, the song list. So. So they, you know, I'll get contact by them. So of course, I'm like, yes, yes, you know. Oh God, I mean, I'd love to have, you know, Mr. Skinny Puppy himself there, and the man who designed it, all those covers, those really cool covers, Skinny Puppy and Network Records, and at the time in the '80s, and like he does a lot of, Stephen does a lot of cool stuff now. He does like album covers for like CD for movies such as Batman, Watchmen, just recently.
Right,
you know,
here.
He does big time stuff. He's just a really nice guy too. So yeah, so they're going to be May 28th. It's like, and Kevin has been in Vancouver for 9 years, so that's really exciting. So he's thrilled to bits. They're both like excited, like already like sort of arguing. Well, I want to play this and I want to play that. I want to play this. No, Kevin, I'm going to play this. It's really cute hearing when I'm on the phone. I'm just laughing because, like, okay, whatever. Like, you know. So yeah, and plus, do having an autograph session.
I was just going to ask. All the fans are probably going to want to come out for that. When is that? Is that on the same night?
It's the same night. All like at the Love Fair event on May 28th. You can. It's a sort of a meet and greet with you know, later on in the evening with Kevin Key. You know, plus both will be spinning.
Nice.
You know, the really cool stuff, including some, of course, you know, classic Skinny Puppy. And there'll be a lot of some other band members there from Image of Vogue. Going to be like Gary Smith and Joe Tizivari. They all used to be in Image of Vogue. They're going to be there too.
Oh, wow.
And many other people will be there. So this is like an exclusive one night out like this. You got to go.
Oh, I will definitely be there. I haven't seen Images in Vogue since I was in grade 8.
I mean, Dale Martin is not going to be there, but the other band members are all going to be there. So, yeah, it's going to be very exciting, and they're excited. It's their suggestion, so, you know, I'm like, I got to do this. I just have to do this.
Well, I love it.
And DJ Pandemonium, I'm just going to be, you know, the guy who runs the Sanctuary at Cincinnati is going to be guest DJing. I want him there because he's just a cool guy.
Isaac's wonderful. DJ
Isaac's
Pandemonium.
A great guy, you know, and it's going to be a killer night. It's going to be, you know, and plus there's going to be a bunch of performance artists there, and it's going to be Max Arneson's art, who used to design my love affair posters. Also Johnny Veris, who's got really cool art. He's going to be there with his art, and there's going to be performance artists. Aka Moaning, Aka Eels, it's a really interesting name, and with his gang of friends, Moaning Lisa Larvini.
Moaning Lisa.
She's a drag queen / transsexual. And really an amazing artist, and does really cool performances. So they're all going to be there. So I suggest you get your tickets as soon as possible.
And how can people get tickets besides?
You can get tickets at Flaming Angels at 644 Seymour Street. You get them at Zulu Records, Pre-App on Davey, and also Little Sisters.
Okay.
You can also get them through Club Zone or through my website, www.loveandgraceaffair.com.
And it's that little 8 thing, isn't it, for the N Grace?
With an N. Love and Grace Affair.
Love and Grace, with an N. Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Just so everybody knows. And they can also, if they want, they can Twitter or they can email as well to win tickets, which you can email Kitten, KITTYN, at sexyinvancity.com, or you can Twitter sexyinvancity.com and just put pound love affair LUVAFAIR to win tickets, and that will be really exciting because it's going to be a really, really, really great night. We're looking forward to it.
Well, we're thrilled. Everybody's excited. It's amazing because I can't think of a better duo than those two. Spinning their hearts out. It's a very personal thing, you know, that you can meet and greet them and the whole thing, and there's going to be signing posters there, and the whole shebang. You can take pictures with them, and so it's going to, and Skinny Puppies in Vancouver, you know, and they've been started here, and anybody, like even younger generation, definitely worth checking this out, because it's Vancouver history, you know, the love affair and the whole Skinny Puppy thing and Kevin Key and the music that was played there, you know, and Love Affair was Vancouver's most iconic, influential underground club, you know. And so we're just celebrating. That's one big celebration that night.
I think it's going to be really great, and we're already getting some responses on Twitter. My favorite so far is, "Oh, Joy Division. I love Affair, your CITR-FM show with Grace."
Oh, really?
Yes,
okay.
And thanks. So I think we may have a winner, which is pretty awesome.
Fantastic.
Which is really
good. And the Greek owners are going to be there, too. They're so excited, too. You know, Nick and Peter Carisota's brother, you know, they're both going to be there with their family. Because it was their baby, the club, and, I told them Stephen and Kevin are coming. They're thrilled to bits. And,
I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be really awesome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, I think it's really cool. And going full circle in terms of talking about finding yourself, doing what you love, doing those things before you go out and try and find somebody else. I love the fact that you did something that you love. And through this, as you're mentioning, just that they heard about you and they approached you to do something. So it's making it just keeps growing. So just do what you love and everything just kind of falls into place as long as you work hard and persist.
Yeah, absolutely.
And whether that be in love, romance, or your personal, which I think it all kind of fits hand in hand all together anyway.
Yeah, I think so.
It's pretty exciting.
I think so. Yeah, it also, it's like a domino effect. It's sort of, it's just, if one thing works, it's something, if you have passion in your heart, it just sort of flows into other areas of your life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the key to a happy, successful, happy life. In my opinion, you know, doing what you love, it is the engine of your life, and so things just go much smoother and easier. Things fall into place much easier if it's something you just can't stand, sometimes you gotta take risks, and sometimes things are tough. You gotta stick with it, you know,
and just keep persisting.
You're not, you know, I'm thinking nothing goes perfect. You know, I have ups and downs, of course.
We all do. Keep working hard at it, and I think it's fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being on the show. And
my pleasure.
I hopefully will see you before the 28th, but for all you listeners out there, we better see you on the 28th so you can check out Skinny Puppy. It's going to be pretty exciting, and check out Love Affair. It's going to be awesome. So up next is Hans von Kloss' Misery Hour. He is a very sexy man to be miserable with. And and he is saying he agrees with you, Bernard, so it's quite exciting. And in big time, he's agreeing with everything you've been saying. So
really?
It's awesome.
Okay.
Yes. And on that note, I forgot actually to mention who all the songs were over the hour. So I started off with I Want to Be Sedated with the Ramones, which I thought was appropriate. And then on the break, we were playing Smothered Hope by Skinny Puppy. So you can go back and listen to the podcast if you're not quite sure what they sound like. And we're going to be wrapping up with Stranglers and Golden Brown. Thank you for listening.
So beautiful. Love it.
And I hope this starts. Good night, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Golden brown, texture like sun, lays me down. With my mind she runs throughout the night. No need to fight, never a frown with golden brown. Every time, just like the last, on the ship, tied to the mast. Two distant lands, takes both my hands. Never a frown with golden brown. Temptress, through the ages she's heading west. From far away, stays for a day. Never a frown with a golden brown.